Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Cage podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog. This is Preview Spotlight number 94 for the August 2015 previews. In this episode, we'll be going over some of the items and previews that you might find interesting. Now, these episodes have an open submission policy. Everyone is encouraged to send in clips every month for the items they find interesting, because, well, that's how we pick what to include in these episodes. Now, there are thousands of items and previews each and every month, and it's easy for things to get lost in the shuffle. Believe me, I've often, while going through one previews, realized I missed something in the previous one and had to email my retailer DCBS and say, hey, can you add this? So again, very easy for things to get lost in the shuffle, which is why we do these episodes, to help people find the stuff they're interested in, not miss something they may have overlooked. Now, as always, we're going to be starting at the beginning of previews and working our way to the back. Obviously, we're not going to go item by item, page by page, or even publisher by publisher. We're just going to hit the highlights, and those highlights are basically picked by you guys, the listeners, by sending in clips. So, that having been said, let's get started. My first pick this month is on page 49 of the previews. It is The Rook, number 1 of 4 from Dark Horse Comics. Stephen Grant is the writer. Paul Galassi is the artist. Great creative team there. And this is a property that came out of Eerie back in the day from Warren Publishing. It's a time-traveling adventure series that, honestly, I know nothing about. But I'm a big fan of time travel. It's got a good creative team. It looks interesting. I do want to point out that I make my picks before previews comes out, so I can get them to DCBS in time for them to do discounts on them. Now, I mention that because on page 49 here, we get a page of the art and the dialogue and all that stuff from this. And it's a little gory, and it's kind of one of my personal hot buttons of, ooh, I don't like that. So had I seen that, would I have picked this? Honestly, I don't know. I am going to get this. I am going to try it out. Again, creative team I like, concept I like. But it does have one of those. It may have a little bit higher gore and violence level than I would care for. Personally, I thought that was a very interesting choice of page for them to pick, particularly with that second panel there. But, you know, it may just be a panel here and there and not a big deal. It may not be, but I'll get a feel for that in the first issue and decide if I continue with the series or not. But it's cool when older properties get brought back for a newer audience, because again, I've never experienced The Rook, so I'm looking forward to a chance to do that. It is a $3.99 comic from Dark Horse. And because it's a comic book page pick of the month, it's got a 50% discount through DCBS, dropping it to $1.99. If you shop at a local retailer and stuff, again, let them know you're interested in it. Some shops, if you sign up for a pull and hold service, a subscription list, a pull list, they may give you an additional discount. They may not. It varies from store to store. But this is the kind of item that stores need are going to be taking a risk on. And it's good for them to know ahead of time if you're interested. That way they have a copy for you when it comes out. So once again, that's The Rook number 1 of 4 on page 49 from Dark Horse Comics.
TJ here, back for another month of previews. And my first pick is in the Dark Horse section on page 69. This is the Planets Omnibus Volume 1 trade paperback with art and writing by Makoto Yomori. It's 568-page black and white, another one of those big, chunky manga omnibus that Dark Horse has been putting out, along with Lone Wolf and Cub, as well as the Kurosagi Corpse Delivery Service. Get a lot of pages for great value. You know, usually be 40% off, so you're looking at $12 for almost 600 pages. Great deal. And so what is Planets about? So in the 2070s, increased interplanetary travel has led to crisis-level amounts of dangerous space debris, and someone has to clean it up. Planets follows the space garbage crew of aspiring explorer Hachimaki Morning Yuri and Secret of Fee collected in two omnibus editions. So I think this was a four-volume original series, four or six, I'm not sure. But it was just one of my favorite mangas of the last couple years that I read. When it was originally published in Japan, it won two of the most prestigious science fiction awards. And it's just a really well-loved story. And, you know, it takes place, a lot of it in space, but a lot of it is about their interpersonal relationships and, you know, how they're dealing with their lives and things like that. So if you're interested in some great science fiction manga with great character interaction and great world building, check out Planets Omnibus Volume 1 on page 69 in the Dark Horse section.
Joe Crawford here with my first pick out of the DC Comics section on page 78, Superman Lois and Clark number 1. It's written by Dan Jurgens and drawn by Lee Weeks. I was really excited about this one because it looks like it's stemming out of the Superman Convergence from a couple of months ago. And it's going to be the pre-52 Superman, and it's going to be about his adventures with Lois and their son. I know a lot of us have been clamoring for Lois and Clark to be back together again, and Dan Jurgens is making this happen, so I wanted to put my money where my mouth is and support this. Superman, Lois and Clark, number 1.
Next up on page 80 is Titans Hunt, number 1, by Dan Abnett, and he's the writer, and the artist is Paolo Sequeira. I'm a huge Teen Titans fan, and this is looking like it's going to be diving into not the current Teen Titans, but either the original New 52 Teen Titan team or kind of the missing one. It's really unclear to me, but the solicit here is talking about Convergence being over, a precog named Lilith, who was one of the Teen Titans originally back in the 60s. Well, not one of the original ones, but part of that run, I should say. And she's having visions of Dick Grayson, Donna Troy, Roy Harper, and Garth. So, basically, Robin, Wonder Girl, Speedy, and Aqualad. So, she's trying to gather this group and some of the other early Teen Titans. It looks like also the kind of the West Coast team of Hawk and Dove, Mal, which was Guardian and stuff, and maybe one or two others. Maybe we'll get Bumblebee or whatever. And it's unclear to me if these guys were actually Teen Titans in the New 52 continuity or not. There was a line or two of dialogue at the beginning of Red Hood and the Outlaws that implied maybe they were. But either way, I'm a huge fan of the early Teen Titans stuff, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they're playing around with here, what they're doing, and how they're going to either be establishing the continuity or creating new continuity, and it seems like this could have big ramifications on everyone on Earth, and that we're going to get the secret history of the Teen Titans. So again, as a huge Teen Titans fan, it's I got to get this. It's 1 of 12, so 12-issue miniseries or limited series. Dan Abnett, great writer, good track record and stuff, so I'm very much looking forward to this and seeing where they go and seeing if they can kind of tell some Teen Titans stuff that I'm really enjoying, because frankly these days I think the current Teen Titans series is focusing more on the teen than on the Titans part of it, and it's not got the magic that some of the original Teen Titans had, or the new Teen Titans, or some other runs where I thought it was just firing on all cylinders. Because at one point, New Teen Titans was the best-selling comic at DC, and deservedly so under the Wolfman Perez era. I'm hoping they can start, you know, pulling some of that magic back in and reestablishing the Teen Titans as a franchise that's worth reading and of major importance, the team of major importance in the DC universe. So, once again, Teen Titans number 1 of 12. It is a $3.99 comic. We've got a discount through DCBS of 45%, dropping that price to $2.19. Again, if you're getting it at your local retailer, let them know ahead of time that you're interested in it. Add it to your pull list. That way they can be sure to have it for you when it comes out. And that should come out around October 21st. So, once again, Titans Hunt number 1 on page 80 from DC Comics. Check it out.
Joe Crawford with my second pick out of the DC Comics section on page 85. Justice League United number 14, written by Jeff Parker, drawn by Paul Pelletier and Rob Hunter. Warzone continues as more long-lost DC heroes join the fray. What bizarre forces causing Sergeant Rock, Enemy Ace, and the Creature Commandos to fight the same insane war over and over again? And how can the team of Stargirl, Batgirl, Steel, Robot Man, and Vandal Savage set things right? This is something I'm really excited about. I have a soft spot for all the old war heroes, so I'm excited especially to see Sergeant Rock and Enemy Ace. And kind of like Marvel's bringing back the Howling Commandos, we're going to have an appearance by the Creature Commandos. So I'm really excited for this one, Justice League United, number 14.
Aloha, this is Jason from Hawaii. My first pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the DC section on page 100, Sensation Comics featuring Wonder Woman number 15, written by Adam Beechin and Carla Speed McNeil, art by Jose Luis Garcia Lopez, Kevin Nolan, Scott Hanna, and Carla Speed McNeil. The solicit reads, "In our little dance, when the well-meaning members of Debbie Domain's family argue that Cheetah needs rehabilitation more than incarceration, Wonder Woman is dragged into court. And Diane teaches a young thug a lesson about how having a pet forces you to train both ends of the leash." You know, I'm excited about this issue because of legendary artist Jose Luis Garcia Lopez. You know, I've been a big fan of his ever since DC Comics Presents number one with Superman and Flash back in the late 70s. And I know his recent work on Batman 66, the Two-Face special. You know, to me, you know, what I really like about his art is his character's facial expression. You know, I know this is going to sound weird, but it's very expressive or like a hyper expressive, and it's really great. And his attention to detail is incredible. So if you guys get a chance, you know, pick this issue up, you know, just to check out his artwork. You know, I already got this issue on my pull list at, Dragon's Lair's, comics in Mililani, you know. And before I go, you know, John, congratulations on doing 1,000 episodes. Thank you for doing the podcast. Back to you.
Guys, TJ here again with my next selection this month. It's in the Vertigo section on page 133, and this is The Twilight Children, number one, written by Gilbert Hernandez and art by Darwin Cook. I was actually a little surprised when I was going through the comic book page forum that someone hasn't already selected this. This is kind of like probably the premier Vertigo book of this entire year. I mean, these creators are world-renowned. I mean, Gilbert Hernandez for his Love and Rockets work and just his all-around amazing comic work. And obviously, Darwin Cook, especially in the DC universe, is just so well known. And this is probably the most anticipated book I've seen coming out of DC in terms of what I'm interested in a long time. And, you know, it's just looks like an interesting premise. To be absolutely honest with you, I don't even care what the premise is. I'm really stoked that Gilbert Hernandez and Darwin Cook are working together on a series. Looks like they're going to be oversized issues, 40 pages. It does look like a mini series, but these two creators could do a single one-shot, and I'd still be excited. So if you are interested in Gilbert Hernandez and Darwin Cook, check out The Twilight Children on page 133 of the Vertigo section, and you should be buying this book. It's going to be amazing. And I buy in collected edition, but because of these creators, I'm actually going to buy the single issues of this. So that tells you how good this should be. So page 133, check it out, The Twilight Children.
This is Mo, Dr. Mo on the forum, here to discuss Art Ops number one for DC's Vertigo line. Art Ops is written by Sean Simon and is illustrated by Mike Oliver. Imagine a world in which art not only imitates life, it becomes it. When rogue figures from famous works of art come to life and escape their frame, it is up to Reggie Riot and the agents of art operatives to track them down before they wreak havoc on the unsuspecting public. But Reggie has secrets of his own that may affect his ability to interact with these living works of art, and he wants no part in the agency's mother ran for him. Sean Simon previously co-wrote the Dark Horse series, The True Lives of the Fabulous Killjoy, with musician Gerald Way of the band My Chemical Romance. Michael Allred is returning to Vertigo following a run on Silver Surfer with Dan Slott. Allred previously worked on Vertigo's iZombie series, but is best known for his creator-owned title, Mad Men. Art Ops is part of a new wave of Vertigo titles that will release this fall. this book was announced at the San Diego Comic-Con. I was primarily drawn to this book because of Michael Allred's artwork. I'm a huge fan of his work dating back to his run on Ecstatics for Marvel Comics. Subsequently, I'm a huge fan of Vertigo. It's nice to see them publishing some new titles following the conclusion of Fable. Hopefully, Art Ops will have as long a run as iZombie, if not longer. If you are a fan of Michael Allred, I cannot stress how important it is to purchase this book. If you are a Vertigo fan, I suggest you try out Art Ops and some of the other titles that Vertigo will be releasing October, November, and December. Art Ops can be found on page 135 of Previews.
Hey guys, this is Chris Brawlinator Brawley again, and we're previewing our October comic picks this month, and I'm probably most excited by this. Even though the original creator once said there would be no other stories, IDW has brought Bob Gale back in time to do a limited series of his most famous story, Back to the Future. On page 153, you can check out this series. It's being written by Bob Gale, John Barber, Eric Burnham, with art by Brent Schoonover and Dan Schoenig. The title is Untold Tales and Alternative Timelines, Part 1. Back to the Future creator, screenwriter Bob Gale returns with all new tales from the twisting and turning timeline that made Back to the Future a timeless pop culture phenomenon. Take a trip back to 1985 and be there when Doc Brown and Marty McFly first meet, and then jump even farther back to 1945 to witness Doc's involvement in the super secret Manhattan Project. I'm told that this comic will also answer long-held questions about the film series, such as how Doc and Marty first meet, Doc's work with the infamous group of scientists during World War II, before going on to feature different artists, drawing a variety of smaller stories that all fit within the existing framework of the films. I also understand that the main framing device used throughout the series involves Doc Brown's family, seen at the end of Back to the Future Part 3. I do expect this to be a lot of fun, and that the series will include characters from the movies or their relatives whenever it makes sense, as well as several Easter egg trilogy references. Maybe we'll finally even find out how Uncle Joey wound up in jail. I'm definitely interested in this. It is my first pick of the month, and I think it's a pick of the month for the Comic Book Page podcast, so John probably has even more info.
Hi, Martin Piero with Cosmic Times here, and I am a sucker for licensed comics. So when I saw that IDW was putting out a Back to the Future comic, I was very excited. And from the solicitation in the catalog, I'm even more excited. If you check out page 152 of the previews catalog, you'll see Back to the Future number 1 of 4. What makes this series really good, or at least hopefully really good, is that it's co-written by Bob Gale, who co-created Back to the Future in the beginning. Again, check out page 152 of the previews catalog in the IDW section, Back to the Future issue 1 of 4.
I'm not sure what else there is for me to say that Chris and Martin haven't already talked about with Back to the Future number 1 from IDW here on page 152, other than I too am a huge fan of the Back to the Future franchise. Again, I'm really big into time travel stories, and this was just a brilliantly done set of movies. Granted, the end of the second one was kind of really frustrating as a cliffhanger. It's like, no, don't stop there, tell me more. But they followed up with the third movie in short order. I'm looking forward to this, the fact that Bob Gale is heavily involved with this, and it will stay within the confines of his vision of that universe. To me, that's essential. I think going, you know, beyond that or outside of that scope or that vision, it would just be a mistake. It could work, but I'm glad to see him involved. I think it'll be good. The art here, particularly by Dan Schoenig, for the covers for 1 through 4, just look outstanding. I think Brent Schoenover and who's the other artist? Dan Schoenig. I mean, again, both the artists look terrific. It's going to be fun stuff. I'm really looking forward to it. And who knows, maybe between now and when this comes out around October 28th, maybe I'll have time to do a roundtable with my sister on the Back to the Future movies. If we can get to it, we will. If we can't, we won't. But at some point, that's on the list of movies to do. Because, again, I'm a huge fan of that trilogy, and I'm looking forward to diving back into that universe with this four-issue miniseries from IDW. It is a $3.99 cover price. It is a comic book page pick of the month, so we've got a 50% discount through DCBS, putting it at $1.99, but this is well worth checking out at cover price at your local retailer if that's where you shop. But do let them know that you want it, because this is one they may order a lot of, they may not, depending how they think it'll do. Again, this movie series is a good couple of years old, a few decades old, so it's going to be a little hard for them to guess. So don't make your retailer guess. Let them know what you're interested in. Again, that's the whole point of why we do these preview spotlights when these things are solicited during the order cycle, so we can help the retailers out and reduce some of the risk for them, because we want them to be ordering what we want to read, not just other stuff on the shelf. Or the other stuff should be for other people, what they want to read, but you get the idea. So once again, Back to the Future number 1 of 4 from IDW on page 152. Check it out. Next up on page 161 is Star Trek number 50 from IDW. I've talked a number of times on the preview spotlight about how much I'm loving this ongoing series that IDW is doing. They've got great writers on it. It is in line and in coordination with what's going on in the movies. In this 50th issue, they kick off a three-part storyline in which the movie version of the crew meet their evil Mirror Universe counterparts and stuff. Very much looking forward to that. The Mirror episode of the classic series was just brilliant. And just as a quick aside, if you loved that Mirror Mirror episode in the Mirror Universe of the original Star Trek series, man, I just can't talk today. Anyways, if you enjoyed that, on YouTube, search for Star Trek Continues Episode 3, Fairest of Them All. This is part of the Star Trek Continues... really, it's hard to describe this, actually. It's a bunch of fan films or whatever that are kind of continuations, sequels, and homages to original Star Trek episodes. And in this one, that last scene of the Mirror Mirror episode where Kirk is talking to the Mirror Spock, that's the opening scene of this, granted with their actors, Vic Mignogna, and I apologize if I'm butchering the name, plays Kirk, and they've also got a YouTube video where it's a side-by-side comparison of the original episode and their recreation of the beginning. And it's basically what happens in the Mirror Universe after that episode. It's well worth watching, easy to go find on YouTube. Just some fun stuff, and it's got Grant Imahara as Sulu. He's was one of the Mythbusters and stuff, so fun stuff. But it just shows how powerful and how cool the Mirror Universe was, and what a pivotal episode that was of the original series. So here in Star Trek 50, to see them doing their version of it with this new crew, this new reality, I'm really looking forward to. It should be a lot of fun. And again, 50 issues for an ongoing series, that's pretty impressive in and of itself. This is a 40-page comic, so $4.99. It's a comic book page pick of the month, so 50% discount through DCBS, dropping it to $2.49. But there's also going to be some bonus content in this issue, kind of a retrospective of the 50 issues they've done, and also some hints and clues maybe about where the series is going. All of this, of course, is leading up to the big 50th anniversary of the original television series next year in 2016. I'm hoping we get a lot of cool Star Trek stuff next year as a result of this, and I certainly hope that the Star Trek comic is part and parcel of that. They've been doing a great job, and I'm looking forward to IDW kind of expanding what they're doing with the Star Trek franchise moving forward. So again, we've got a Mirror Universe start of a three-parter in this issue. Star Trek 50, page 161. Check it out. I think you'll enjoy it.
This is Mo with my next pick for the Previews Spotlight episode, Empire Uprising number 5, published by IDW. Empire Uprising is a digital-first comic initially released through Mark Waid's Thrillbent Comics. The creative team behind Empire Uprising is writer
Mark Waid, and artist Barry Kitson. Waid and Kitson first released Empire back in 2000 through Guerrilla Comics, a now-defunct Image Comics imprint. The title was also briefly published by DC Comics back in 2003. Empire Uprising takes place on an alternate Earth that was conquered by a Doctor Doom-style supervillain named Golgoth and his acolytes. So why did I pick issue 5 to highlight? Issue 5 is the start of a new story arc after Empire Uprising went on a brief hiatus. Issue 4, which was solicited in the July previews catalog, is supposed to ship sometime in August. I thought Waid and Kitson were only doing 4 issues of Empire Uprising. I was pleasantly surprised when I thumbed through the October previews and found issue 5 in the IDW section. This is a series in which the creative team is able to cut loose and explore the state of a world that is controlled by a megalomaniac. It is ironic that Barry Kitson, an industry veteran whose art style is tailor-made for classic superhero stories, is drawing this very violent comic. If you remember Empire or cannot get enough of Mark Waid's writing, I suggest you pick this book up if you decide to continue with the series. Empire Uprising number 5 and the first Empire Uprising trade can be found on page 178 of the previews catalog.
This is the Brawlinator, and for my next pick, I'm in the Image section on pages 188 through 191, and this is the Image debut from superstar Scotty Young, who recently did the Rocket Raccoon mini and several Wizard of Oz series. This Adventure Time Alice in Wonderland-style epic smashes its cute little face against Tank Girl Deadpool-like violent madness in an adventure that ain't for the little kiddies. It's the story of Gert, a 6-year-old who's been stuck in the magical world of Fairyland for 30 years and will hack and slash her way through anything to find her way back home. Join Gert and her giant battle axe on a delightfully blood-soaked journey to see who will survive the girl who hates Fairyland. So it's basically the story of a near 40-year-old stuck in a 6-year-old body living in a world of wonder and magic, and she's sick of it and finds it annoying to the point of madness. If you've ever imagined Alice in Wonderland in real life as an adult, this might be what it looks like. She never physically ages, has nothing but sweets to eat, and never gains weight, and lives in a carefree world of whimsy with no responsibilities. But it's apparently not all it's cracked up to be. This should be an interesting exploration of the idea of an adult stuck in that kind of Alice in Wonderland, Tank Girl, Looney Tunes, Beetlejuice kind of world, and if a Scotty Young ongoing with a twist of adult humor appeals to you, then I Hate Fairyland should be added to your pull list. Again, it's on pages 188 through 191, and it's this month from Image.
This is Mo with my next pick, Paper Girls number 1 from Image Comics. Paper Girls is the brainchild of writer Brian K. Vaughan and artist Cliff Chang. Brian K. Vaughan continues to crank out new titles. Paper Girls will be Vaughan's second new creator-owned title and Image this year. Cliff Chang, whose run on Wonder Woman ended earlier this year, has traded Greek gods and goddesses for a book featuring 4 female leads who ride bicycles. According to the solicitation text and interviews given by the creative team, Paper Girls is a supernatural mystery adventure set in the 1980s. Think Stand By Me meets War of the Worlds. Individuals who are fans of Brian K. Vaughan should try out this first issue. Like Saga and We Stand on Guard's first issues, Paper Girls is only $2.99 for 48 pages. Cliff Chang is a master of body language and expressions. Many of Chang's best pages on Wonder Woman were the ones in which characters were talking or interacting in ways that did not involve punching and or kicking. I'll be honest, I have not committed to buying an issue of Paper Girls beyond number 1. However, based on prior experiences, I'm willing to give Vaughan $2.99 for the first issue and see if he can make me a believer. Paper Girls number 1 can be found on page 192 of previews. A sneak peek of the book is offered on pages 193 through 195.
This is Chris Brawlinator Brawley again, and I want you to turn a few pages over to 198 and 199, still in the Image section. Let's ask the question, What if the sexy Russian Bond girl was actually the hero? Well, that's the premise in this new Image title written by Anthony Johnson. It's called Codename Babushka, an action-packed modern pulp spy thriller full of high stakes, thrills, and exotic locations. This follows a kick-ass female hero in the style of James Bond and Modesty Blaze. Tension, deep dark secrets that everyone's trying to figure out, and high-octane action. Sign me up. This tells the story of the enigmatic Contessa, a wealthy socialite, the last heiress to a noble Russian line, and secretly a deadly assassin. Apparently she was blackmailed by the U.S. government to carry out dirty jobs even the CIA can't sanction. She's got nothing to lose and everything to fight for. The story unfolds as her organization is betrayed and destroyed by a cabal of rival mafia. So she escapes to America and lays low until her true identity is discovered. Once she's threatened with deportation back to Moscow, she realizes there's certain death awaiting there, and Babushka is forced to work for the U.S. government, taking on dirty jobs that, again, are so classified even the CIA won't sanction them. Each issue will feature two covers, a regular silhouette cover and an art cover by an all-star lineup of female artists. You can also expect some back matter essays discussing female heroes and other subjects. Each book will begin in a missions mode, part of Babushka's ongoing adventures, but stand alone as a story. So there's going to be this ongoing arc of a larger mission told in these one-shot type one-and-done stories. Not one-shots, just one-and-dones. Think of it like a new Bond movie every so often, except the Russian femme fatale is the star. Codename Babushka, number one, hits October 2015.
Hey guys, it's Drew with a pick from Image on page 203. It's The Humans, number 8. Story by Keenan Marshall Keller, art by Tom Neely. This thing comes out October 7th. It's 32 pages and it's only $2.99. The Humans, if you haven't been reading it, is a not all ages. It's a mature title, but it's an amazing book, an amazing art style. It is a cross between Planet of the Apes meets Easy Rider meets The Deer Hunter. So smush all that together, and it's awesome creative storytelling in a comic book form that I wholeheartedly recommend. Not for the faint of heart. Got a lot of violence and a lot of mature themes, but it is fantastic and something that I love very much. So please check out The Humans, number 8, on page 203.
Joe Crawford with a pick out of the Image section on page 206, Witchblade 185. And this is the series finale, and it's going to wrap up the story of Sarah Pazzini and her 20-year run in Witchblade. They're going to have a lot of different artists return and work on it as well. And so hopefully this is going to tie up any loose threads that have been going throughout the series. The story's going to be by Ron Mars, Matt Hawkins, and Mark Silvestri, and there's a literal plethora of artists that are going to be working on it as well. It's got a nice Michael Turner cover, and I'm really excited for this long-running series, Witchblade 185 series finale.
Next up on page 208 is Switch number 1 from Image Comics. Now, this is done by Stepan Sejic, and that, frankly, in and of itself was enough to get me to pick it up. This is apparently a web comic that's been on DeviantArt and has gotten millions of views. I am completely unfamiliar with it. But the basic premise is a teenage girl gets, in this case, it looks like the Witchblade. And he's using these artifacts with permission, because, of course, he was also the artist on Witchblade for forever and a day and did a terrific job there. But this is a self-contained universe, again, including the artifacts and other stuff. I don't know if it's just from the Top Cow universe, or maybe he's got other things he's going to come into play. Don't know. But it is Stepan Sejic on story, art, cover, you name it. He's done it. 48 pages. It's a $3.99 comic. We've got a 50% discount through DCBS, so it's $1.99 there. But 48 pages for the same price you're going to pay for a regular comic at Marvel, DC, wherever, and you're getting 48 pages. That's a hell of a deal. Plus, they're drawn and written by Stepan Sejic. That's a hell of a deal right there. They've got 4 pages of the story on page 209 here. It looks like a lot of fun. I don't know exactly where it's going, but it's an ongoing series. Apparently this has already been done and whatnot through DeviantArt. When Stepan Sajic has had the time to do this, I have no idea. The guy is just crazy prolific, as well as just being an amazing artist and writer and stuff. So I'm looking forward to it. Should be a lot of fun. I think you guys check it out. If you like his art style, it's a no-brainer. If you don't, well, then different art styles, different people. For me, I love the art style. I love his storytelling. Well worth doing. So again, once again, Switch number 1 from Image Comics on page 208. Check it out.
Guys, this is TJ with my next pick. It's in the Image section on page 211 of the Image previews. I know that the Image previews over the last few months have gone through kind of an organizational change, and I'm not sure if I'm a huge fan of it, but this is the first place I found it. They might have another page where they kind of describe it better, but this is on page 211, and this is the Satellite Sam Deluxe hardcover. So story by Matt Fraction, art by Howard Chaykin. Over 400 pages of black and white 1950s murder mystery television slash movie. So this collects the whole first kind of storyline of Satellite Sam, which issues 1 through 15, plus a bunch of bonus material, which might include the Tijuana Bible, I'm not sure. But this is just a great package. You know, they'll probably have it 50% off through DCBS. So, you know, I really like these creators' work, and I really, you know, you can really tell when you read this story that they're very into the material and they love making this stuff. So it really comes across on the page, and Satellite Sam is a great, great story that, you know, I've been a fan of reading in single digital issues. So I am definitely going to pick this collected hardcover up, and I think there will be more Satellite Sam, but this is kind of the end of the first major arc. So if you're a Satellite Sam fan or a Matt Fraction Howard Chaykin fan, check out the deluxe hardcover on page 211 of Image.
Next up on page 213 is, frankly, a really interesting decision for a creator to make. It's Invincible 124. It's by Robert Kirkman. And this is his other title that he started at the same time of Walking Dead, but it really has never caught on like Walking Dead. And it's the basic premise of Invincible is we've got Mark, who is the son of Omni-Man, who is pretty much the Superman of that universe. Doesn't have powers, but at the beginning of the series, he's developing the powers. It's great. Then things start happening. Now, obviously, 123 issues have happened. One or two of which, I think it was issue 60 or whatever, was kind of like a big event, and one issue was a huge issue. A lot's happened over the course of the 10 years. But what Kirkman's decided to do is reboot the series. Now, most creators, when they do that, would just give it a new number one and keep going with the story. He's doing the exact opposite. He's keeping the numbering going and restarting the story back at number one. That's right, Mark is waking up without his powers where he started in the series, when he started in the series, but with the knowledge of the series. So he knows what's coming down the line. The question is, what does he do differently knowing then what he knows now? How will he deal with his father? How will he deal with his relationships, other people? I have no idea. I think this is going to be very interesting. This is billed as part one of three, but I'm expecting, though, once this three-parter is over, it's still a rebooted universe and he's still moving forward. I could be wrong on that, don't know, but this is a big change in the status quo for the title, and I'm really curious about it. If it works for me, awesome. If it doesn't, does this give me a jumping off point? It very well might. I don't jump off titles that often, but if I feel he's just going to retread what he's already done, there would be no point to continue. But if you're looking for a good jumping on point for Invincible, this may be a great one to do, and it could be fun to read the first trade in parallel with this one coming out, this storyline coming out, just to see how it goes and differs and whatnot. Anyways, big risk I think Kirkman is taking. Not entirely sure what prompted it, but it's definitely an interesting approach. Once again, that's Invincible 124 on page 213. It is a comic book page pick of the month, so that $2.99 price has a 50% discount through DCBS, dropping it to $1.49, making it a pretty easy thing to take a chance on. So, I think you should check it out. My next pick is on page 218. It's Black Magic number 1 from Image Comics. Now, the story is by Greg Rucka, so that right there is a reason to get it just in and of itself. The art and cover, Nicola Scott. That in and of itself is another reason to get it. So what more do I need to say? It's great art, great writing. How can you go wrong with that? I don't think you can. But in case you need the premise, it's basically a detective series with a gothic noir, kind of a magic, the price of magic, all of that sort of a thing baked into it. So I'm going to go and say high concept-wise, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but, you know, what if Constantine or Hellblazer was a police procedural? Greg Rucka can do police procedurals. We've seen that back when he did Gotham Central and some of his other work. His writing is just tight. His world is thought out. And Nicola Scott, just a great artist. We've got 4 pages of art here on page 219. It is billed as a full-color comic, but the art I'm seeing seems to be black and white, so I'm a little confused by that. Maybe it's flashback. I don't know. But it's terrific-looking art. I'm looking forward to this series. Should be a lot of fun. That having been said, if I read the first one and say, you know, this is more supernatural or something not in my wheelhouse, maybe I won't stay with it. But with a creative team like this, I've certainly got to check it out. It's coming out on October 28th, and again, this is kind of a Halloween flavor sort of a thing, so I think that's a great time to go launch the series. It's 40 pages, it's $3.99. We've got a discount over at DCBS, because it's comic page pick of the month, so that 50% discount drops that cover price down to $1.99. Again, if you're getting it at a local store, let them know ahead of time that you want it. That way they'll be sure to have it for you. We got to support our local stores. We got to help them out by pre-ordering, I think. So, once again, Black Magic number 1 on page 218. Check it out.
Aloha. This is Jason from Hawaii. My pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the Marvel section on page 18. Squadron Sinister number 4. Written by Mark Guggenheim, art by Carlos Pacheco. The solicit reads, Hyperion and Nighthawk, and Battle World's not big enough for the two of them. The secret war tie-in that proves that there is no honor among thieves or super criminals reaches its epic conclusion with the Battle of the Millennium. Only one can walk away. You know, this is issue number 4. It wraps up the mini, secret war, mini-series tie-in, and I want to say, you know, John, thank you very much for mentioning this on the podcast. You know, I know you and Drew reviewed issue number 1, and I've, you know, decided to pick it up, and I've enjoyed the series ever since. You know, I love this twisted alternate take of the Justice League in the Marvel Universe, where none of the team members, you know, trust each other, but need each other for, you know, for their ulterior motives. You know, and I know that there's going to be a new Squadron Supreme series by James Robinson and art by Leonard Kirk, you know, sometime in the next few months. So that I'm looking forward to that series as well, too. So if you guys get a chance, pick up Squadron Sinister number 4. I already have this set on my pull list at Dragon's Lair's Collectibles and Comics in Mililani. Thank you very much for listening. Back to you, John.
On page 28 of the Marvel previews, we've got Amazing Spider-Man number 1 for the first time since, well, I think about the middle of last year. And on the one hand, it's easy to make fun of the constant relaunching at Marvel, but we've still got Dan Slott. We've got Giuseppe Camunicoli, hoping I got that right, on the art. Again, Slott on the writing. Slott's been doing just a terrific job on Spider-Man for just ages now. I think his run's going to go down as one of the definitive ones. And this is, I guess, picking up after Secret Wars. Parker Industries is back. It's global. It's wildly successful. We've got Peter Parker and his quote-unquote bodyguard, Spider-Man. I'm looking forward to seeing where they take it. This first issue is also going to have some stories with Silk, the Spider-Man 2099, Spider-Woman, although a little unclear which one. So the first issue is going to be 72 pages. It's going to be $5.99. We do have a 50% discount on that through DCBS because it's comic page pick of the month. And plus, they probably would have discounted it anyways. So who am I kidding? But it drops it down to $2.99 for, again, 72 pages of content. Starting with the second issue, it goes down to 32 pages for $3.99. So just set your expectations there. But I'm looking forward to it. I think they've been doing some great stuff with Spider-Man over the last couple of years. Again, Dan Slott has had a really interesting take on it and gone in a number of different directions, everything from Superior Spider-Man on up and down. So I'm looking forward to where they go with this, how it plays out. Should be a lot of fun. And hopefully it'll last more than a year and a half before we get yet another Amazing Spider-Man number one. Or another Superior Spider-Man or Uncanny Spider-Man or whatever direction they decide to go in. There is a solid through line across all of these titles over the last couple of years, so it's not like they're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. And in a couple of cases, particularly when they went into Superior Spider-Man, the title change in the number one, I think, was surprisingly enough warranted. Again, looking forward to this Amazing Spider-Man number one. It is on page 28 of the Marvel previews. Check it out.
Joe Crawford with my first pick out of the Marvel section, and that's Blade number one on page 31. This one's going to be written by Tim Seeley and drawn by Logan Faber. Doesn't have any description whatsoever, but I'm going to put my faith in Tim Seeley. He's done a lot of horror comics in the past, you know, strong female protagonists like Cassie Hack and also in Revival, and also a fan of Blade, so I'm interested to see what this new version of Blade's going to be like. And that's Blade number one on page 31. Joe Crawford with my next pick out of the Marvel section. Hot on the heels of the movie, it's The Astonishing Ant-Man number one, written by Nick Spencer. Scott Lang was a down-on-his-luck divorced ex-con until he stole renowned scientist and superhero Hank Pym's size-altering technology in the hopes of saving his daughter's life. So, written by Nick Spencer, the first thing I thought when I saw the cover artwork they've got on here with it looks like Grizzly, Beetle, Whirlwind, and Porcupine is this is going to have a similar tone to Superior Foes of Spider-Man, which was a great series. So I want to give this a shot, Astonishing Ant-Man number one.
Aloha, this is Jason from Hawaii. My pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the Marvel section on pages 34 and 35. Contest of Champions number one, written by Al Ewing, art by Paco Medina. The solicit reads, "Welcome to the Battle Realm, a broken section of space and time where cosmic beings gamble for the ultimate power while their unwilling pawns fight for their lives and a chance to return back to Earth. Who will survive the Contest of Champions?" This is a 40-page comic book priced at $4.99. I know on the forum, Joe3C is going to submit a clip for the Marvel Superhero Contest of Champions. You know, I remember reading that miniseries a long time ago, back in the early 80s. And, you know, this Contest of Champions, it looks like an updated version of that story idea. And, you know, the reason why I'm picking it up, this one looks fun to read. You know, it's the hero versus hero. Who's better? Who's stronger? And stuff like that. And you know what? On page 35, it looks like, you know, the maestro will be the one to choose who would win. So, I mean, like I said, this looks, you know, to me, it looks like a fun read. That's why I'm picking this up. So if you guys get a chance, you know, pick up Contest of Champions number one. Thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
Now on page 36 in the Marvel previews, the Marvel Universe will get a little more magical and a little weirder this fall, and not in that shield and hammer sort of way. In tandem with all new, all different Marvel, as many as 60 new number one titles will be released, and among them is the return of the Sorcerer Supreme himself, Doctor Strange, with a brand new comic series just in time for his upcoming movie. Oh, and did I mention there's a really big axe that he'll be toting? From inside his sanctum sanctorium, the strangest place in this or any universe, the master of the mystic arts protects this realm from the supernatural. This new series is written by Jason Aaron with art by Chris Bacciolo, and it will not only serve as a reinvention of this classic beloved character, it will also explore him in a deeper way than ever before. Whatever he does has repercussions. This magic stuff, there's always a cost to it, so he has to balance his skills and worry that if he saves the day here, what repercussions will that have for him elsewhere in the world? This version of Doctor Strange is a pretty weird guy, but he loves his job. There will be darkness, there will be humor, and a celebration of the strange and the weird. This new take on a classic character does sound intriguing to me, and you can't go wrong with this creative team, so I'm definitely in. It's found again on page 36 and 37 in the Marvel previews.
This is Mo, Dr. Mo on the forum, here to discuss Extraordinary X-Men 1 and 2, the post-Secret Wars Brian Michael Bendis era of the X-Line starts with its new flagship title, Extraordinary X-Men, written by Jeff Lemire and drawn by Humberto Ramos. Mutantkind is once again facing the threat of extinction and is up to Storm to put together a team that will ensure the species' survival. Joining Storm on this crusade are Colossus, Magic, Nightcrawler, Iceman, Old Man Logan, and Young Jean Grey. I have been an X-Men fan for a few decades, but my enthusiasm for the line has waned over the last few years. I was not overly fond of Bendis' run on the line, and at times I had difficulty finding an X title that appealed to my taste. I've read some of Lemire's team books. Runs on Justice League United and Justice League Dark had their ups and downs. Given Lemire's rise in popularity, I think he's up to the challenge. For those mutants who are fortunate enough to escape Battleworld, you can look forward to Extraordinary X-Men hitting your shelves in October. Issues 1 and 2 can be found on page 38 of the Marvel Previews catalog.
On page 46 in the Marvel Previews from Frank Barbieri and Brent Schoonover comes my next Marvel pick, and it's Howling Commandos of S.H.I.E.L.D. Only this and Doctor Strange have intrigued me in the new titles coming out, so that says either something about my taste or Marvel's newest direction. But I wanted some weird, I suppose, and this seems to fit the bill. The solicit reads, "Hidden deep beneath Area 13 lies the clandestine headquarters of STAKE, a top-secret division of S.H.I.E.L.D., housing aliens, mythical beasts, and all manner of extra-normal entities." Before I go any further, let me tell you that STAKE is indeed another Marvel acronym. This one stands for Supernatural Threat Analysis and Kill Experts, and they are under the command of legendary soldier Dum Dum Dugan. These monsters step out of the shadows and defend the world against supernatural threats too dangerous for normal men, and they are the all-new, all-different Howling Commandos of S.H.I.E.L.D. Now, you gotta love those comic book acronyms, so we seem to get a revived Dum Dum Dugan, along with marvels of the Marvel history such as Googum, Man-Thing, Hit-Monkey, Teen Abomination, Elsa Bloodstone, Werewolf by Night, Manphibian, and a new zombie. Maybe it's Thunderbolt Ross or Agent Sitwell. But judging by the tagline, it looks like this ragtag group of misfits will be taking on all of the monstrous threats of the Marvel Universe. Hopefully, Howling Commandos will give us a cool Fin Fang Foom appearance. Oh, and that tagline is, "To fight the monsters of the world, we need the monsters of the night." Take my money, Marvel.
Aloha, this is Jason from Hawaii. My last pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the Marvel section on pages 48 and 49, Karnak number 1, written by Warren Ellis and art, I'm going to try to pronounce the name correctly, Geraldo Zaffino. The solicit reads, "The flaw in all things." Quote, "My curse is that I see the flaw in all things. Systems, philosophies, structures, people, everything. Never forget who I am. I am Karnak of the Inhumans." You may not know who Karnak is now, but you will when Warren Ellis of Moon Knight and Planetary fame and Geraldo Zaffino are done with you. Phil Coulson goes to Karnak to help with a S.H.I.E.L.D. case with Inhuman implications, and what he's going to find will terrify you. Basically, the reason why I'm picking up the series is,
Warren Ellis. I want to see what Warren Ellis does, you know, for this character. You know, I read his run on the Moon Knight series, and what, you know, Warren Ellis did, on that series, was some of the best stories I've read in a long time. I'm excited to see what Warren Ellis has in store for this book, you know. So if you guys get a chance, pick up Karnak number one. You know, I have this on my pull list at Dragon's Lair's Collectibles and Comics in Mililani. You know, I just want to say thank you everyone for listening to my clips. And I just want to say, you know, that this month, August, you know, it makes it 1 year since I started submitting clips, to the previews, episodes. You know, I'm having fun doing these, and I encourage, you know, other listeners to, you know, please send in clips, you know. Like I said, it's fun to do. It really is. And again, thank you everyone for listening to my clips. You know, and John, mahalo, or thank you for letting me be a part of your podcast. Until next month, back to you, John.
Hi, it's Brandon from the Forecast Podcast with my pick of the month. This month, I'm going with Uncanny Avengers number 1 from the Marvel solicitations for one reason. Deadpool finally gets his wish. For those of you who are a little bit crazy like me and have been reading Deadpool for a long time, you know that Deadpool has tried to fit in with the heroes of the Marvel Universe and has failed most of the time at doing so. Whether it was that time he tried to wear Jean Grey's costume and fit in with the X-Men, or tried to convince Iron Man that he really was an Avenger, this time it looks like it's finally going to stick. I think through some of the story points that have happened over in Deadpool's own comic, he has finally gotten the respect of Steve Rogers, and here in this comic, Steve Rogers is starting his own Avengers Unity team with mutants, humans, and inhumans, it says in the solicitation. So we've got three different groups of people now that are fighting to have their little space of the Marvel Universe, and Steve Rogers is going to try his best to make them get along. And he's bringing along Deadpool, Rogue, the Human Torch, Spider-Man, Brother Voodoo, Quicksilver, and an Inhuman who I don't recognize to try and do that. It's written by the same writer that has been writing the Deadpool comic book for the last two years now, Gary Duggan, and I think he has done an excellent job and is an excellent writer, and I think he can do wonders with these characters and with this premise. So I am choosing Uncanny Avengers for my pick. It's on page 60 of the Marvel solicitations.
When I was a kid, the only way to read a comic was to find it on a spinner rack. In 1983, one of the hottest comics that my friends had was Contest of Champions. Almost 10 years later, I was able to track down the first two issues of it, but I was never able to get the third. Lucky for me, my next pick on page 66 in the Marvel catalog, Marvel Superhero Contest of Champions, which reprints that three-issue series. That's going to have a $7.99 cover price, and DCBS has it marked down for $4.79. My final pick out of the Marvel section, which probably also wins longest title award, is Star Wars Journey to Star Wars, The Force Awakened, Shattered Empire trade paperback. That's on page 117 in the Marvel section of the catalog. I was going to do these single issues, but I decided that it might be easier to read in one sitting, so I decided to wait on the trade. I know that when the Star Trek Countdown was a series, the first time I read it as single issues, I forgot month to month what had happened, so reading it in one chunk when I got the trade was really helpful. So I'm excited this is going to come out right before the movie, and it's going to have the four issues of the prequel. And DCBS has got this $16.99 paperback at half price, so it's going to be only $8.49. And that's the Star Wars Journey to Star Wars Force Awakens Shattered Empire trade paperback.
This is Ben Truex from the Craft Comics Cast, and I'm here with my last pick for the month. And this is a pick for anybody that is a fan of Aspen, action-adventure, or samurai comics. And this is Oniba Swords of the Demon number 0 from Aspen. And the solicit reads as follows. From creators Paolo Pentelena of Journey and Vince Hernandez of Fathom Kiani comes this all-new action-adventure series hundreds of years in the making. When the actions of her feudal lord begin to lay the seeds of doubt within her, Yukiko, a samurai with exceptional swordplay and even far greater courage, must make a bold decision that forever changes her fate along with the history of Japan itself. This special debut 0 issue of Oniba Swords of the Demon features a brand new 12-page story that sets the stage for the upcoming premiere of Oniba Swords of the Demon number 1 coming next month. Also including a comprehensive sketchbook section and never-before-seen designs and artwork, make sure you don't miss out on Oniba Swords of the Demon number 0. Now, this is the regular cover price on this is $2.50, which in and of itself is a good price. But then through DCBS, they have it at 50% off, and you can get this and try this series out for just $1.25. Now, what's funny about that is if you look at the cover art for that that book, it actually shows $3.99 on the artwork for the cover. So I don't know if they goofed on that or what the case may be, but like I said, DCBS has the regular cover price is $2.50, so I can imagine the book will probably be going up to $3.99 once issue 1 rolls around. And I believe right now is a great time to get into Aspen and sample their work. They've rebooted a lot of series lately. They have an ever-growing line of stuff that they're putting out. And they've just acquired Big Dog Inc. as well. So all those titles, if you followed anything from Big Dog Inc., are now going over and being brought into the fold with Aspen, which I think is a great fit because a lot of the stories have a very similar feel to them. So it seems fairly natural for that acquisition to have occurred there. And then they're you know, bringing over a lot of that talent that was over there with Big Dog Inc. So if you're looking for a new comic universe to check out, to get into, and you want a place to get your feet wet, I would suggest this title here, Oniba Swords of the Demon, number 0 from Aspen.
Guys, TJ here with my next pick. It's on page 300 in the Boom section, more specifically the Archaea section of Boom. And this is Iscariot, hardcover, written and illustrated by S.M. Viduri. It's 144 pages, full color. It's another one of these amazing Archaea hardcovers, and they actually have a numerous page art preview, and the art just looks so gorgeous. And so what's the story? It says, when Carson, a young girl living with cancer, is bestowed with age-old magic by a rebellious sorcerer named Iscariot, she must navigate her new powers, face the life she has thought she left behind forever, and take on the order of magicians who want to control her destiny. Carson discovers that Iscariot's intentions might not have been as altruistic as it first appeared, and learns the hard way that magic comes at a cost. So this looks like one of what Archaea does as their specialty, which is really good stories packaged in really well-made hardcovers. And if you look at this art on page 300 and 301, you will definitely see why I'm interested. It's just really good looking. So if you're interested in a good standalone, original story, check out Iscariot hardcover on page 300 of the Boom/Archaea section.
This is Chris, and this is my next pick, and it is in the Boom Studios section, found on page 303. It's the collected Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep omnibus. I'm a huge fan, almost obsessively so, of the 1982 Ridley Scott film starring Harrison Ford, known as Blade Runner. As many of you listening probably already know, it's based on Philip K. Dick's novel, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep. About 5 or so years ago, Boom Studios published a 24-issue graphic interpretation of that novel by artist Tony Parker. Now, I completely missed this. As a matter of fact, until I saw the solicits for this, I never even knew it existed. I wasn't collecting when it came out, and now I'm finding out that for the first time, all 24 issues of this Eisner Award-nominated series have been collected into one complete omnibus edition. Now, not only is the art gorgeous, but this edition also contains essays from Jonathan Lethem, Ed Brubaker, Warren Ellis, Matt Fraction, and more. The solicit reads, San Francisco lies under a cloud of radioactive dust. The World War has killed millions, driving entire species to extinction and sending mankind off planet. Those who remain covet any living creature, and for people who can't afford one, companies build incredibly realistic fakes. Horses, birds, cats, sheep, and even humans. Rick Deckard is an officially sanctioned bounty hunter tasked to find six rogue androids. They're machines but look, sound, and think like humans, and are infinitely more dangerous. This is a softcover omnibus, and I suspect that if you're a fan of Blade Runner like me, but you've never read the source material, this experimental adaptation should be just the ticket. Between the praise I've read and the glimpses of the art that I've seen online, I will definitely be grabbing a copy of this omnibus. Do androids dream of electric sheep? The omnibus will arrive in comic shops and bookstores this December. It retails for $40, but is heavily discounted if you pre-order through DCBS.
Hey guys, TJ here with my next pick. It's on page 314 in the Conundrum Press section. This is Long Red Hair graphic novel with writing and art by Megs Fitzgerald. And this is in this graphic memoir, Fitzgerald paints a childhood photo of sleepovers, playing dress-up, amateur fortune-telling, and renting scary movies. Fitzgerald suspects that she is unlike her friends. Long Red Hair alluringly delves into the mystique of red hair and the beguiling nature of alternative romantic relationships, the follow-up to her award-winning photo booth biography. And that is actually what I wanted to highlight here, is that I actually found out about Megs Fitzgerald by reading her first book, which is kind of like a historical graphic novel, kind of about the history of the standalone photo booth and how they developed, but also her relationship in her early teens and late 20s of becoming kind of obsessed with photo booths and kind of how it dominated the first part of her life. And she's just a really good storyteller, and she's really good at, you know, keeping the plot moving and keeping you interested. And so, this is going to be more of a kind of memoir, but her work is really well done, and I really want to see her grow as a storyteller. So this will be her second book, and I'm, a big fan of hers now after reading her first one. So if you're a fan of Megs Fitzgerald or you like graphic memoir, please check out Conundrum Press on page 314 for Long Red Hair graphic novel.
Hello, this is Martin Pierre with Cosmic Times, and I just want to let you know about our latest book, Deep Space Tragedy. Deep Space Tragedy tells the story of a teenage robot rock band on the run. It is written and illustrated by Mike Wagoner, who he himself was in a rock band. As I said, the book can be found on page 314 of the previews catalog. It has a spotlight on it and also features a variant cover by Transformers artist Andrew Wildman. We're a small publisher, and we're just hoping that you'll take a look at the book and order it at your store. More information about Cosmic Times can be found at cosmictimes.net. Thanks! Martin Pierre with Cosmic Times again. I also want to point out that we have a second book in this month's previews catalog, also on page 314, Void of Heroes, Issue 4. This is the finale to our mini-series based on the video game Void of Heroes. More information about the game and the comic can be found on our website at cosmictimes.net. Thanks.
This is Chris again, and my pick this month from Dynamite is found on page 324, and it is The Misadventures of Grumpy Cat number 1, featuring the world's grumpiest cat and her brother Pokey. With her ever-present pout and sassy disposition, Grumpy Cat has won the hearts of people everywhere. And if you love the internet memes, then get ready for the wildly fun antics of Grumpy Cat and Pokey in Dynamite's all-new, all-sensational Grumpy Cat comics. I'm actually picking this up for my daughter and my wife. The former introduced me to the Grumpy Cat meme, and my wife would be an actual cat lady if I allowed her to own more than two cats at one time. This isn't a serious pick at all, but it may be amusing, or it may just be a licensing dud. But for what it's worth, Grumpy Cat is one of the few celebrities that I like. The internet famous cat and her brother Pokey will debut in comic form with this 3-issue miniseries out this fall, which will undoubtedly be bound into a hardcover graphic novel available just in time for Christmas. If you've got to have more scowl in your humor comics, this one's for you. Again, it's on page 324 of this month's previews.
This is TJ back with my next selection. It's on page 355 in the Fantagraphic book section. This is my most anticipated release of this month, and this is Soldier's Heart, a World War II veteran's battle on the home front, a daughter's graphic memoir by Carol Taylor. This basically collects the You'll Never Know series, which was a set of three books, about 120 pages each. These are 8.5 by 10.75. So they're pretty decent sized hardcovers. So this is going to be $40 for almost 400 pages. And this is just one of the best graphic memoirs I've ever read. I mean, I was moved to tears by how effectively Carol Taylor tells the story of her father's journey through World War II and what the war did to his family and what the, you know, some other things that happened. I don't want to spoil anything for you, but it's just so heart-wrenching and so amazing. It's one of the best books that I've ever read. I'm not, you know, I've read a lot of comics, and this is just the top shelf for me. So, you know, she's got a different art style, you know, mixes mediums, and you can tell some of it's painting, some of it's, you know, almost crayon, some of it's, you know, watercolors, some pencils, and she just does a fabulous job. You know, if there's one thing I would buy from this entire month's catalog, this would be it. That Soldier's Heart, World War II Veterans Battle on the Home Front, A Daughter's Graphic Memoir. That can be found in the Fantagraphics section on page 355. As TJ with my next selection. This is in the first second section. It's on page 357. It's Human Body Theater by Maris Wicks from first second. And it's basically a nonfiction review of the human body. Says from bones to skin and everything in between, Human Body Theater takes readers on a fascinating and highly educational tour of the body in comics format. So I'm a big fan of Maris Wicks. I previously read her work Primates, The Fearless Science of Jane Goodall, Diane Fossey, and Baruch Gladkiss. And she just does a very good job of really, in a short amount of time, introducing characters and really getting down to what is the essence of that person, you know, in the Primates book, and what is the essence of the work they did with the different sets of primates. And it was just a really good read, one of the most entertaining books I've read from first second. And that's saying something, since you probably read about 85% of their output, and I love almost every book they make. But this one really stood out to me by Jim Ottavani and Maris Wicks. And so I'm really interested in her follow-up work, The Human Body Theater. And it looks like it'll be fun and entertaining, but also informative. So if you're interested in some nonfiction about the human body, check out The Human Body Theater by Maris Wicks on page 357 of the Fantagraphics section. Or excuse me, of the first second section.
This is Ben Truax from the Kraft Comics Cast, back with my second pick for the month. And that is Bad Moon Rising, number 1 of 6, from 451 Media Group. This is a story written by Scott Rosenberg and Brandon M. Easton, and the artist is Ty Dazzo. The solicit reads as follows. It's hell on wheels when Sheriff George Wagner is killed. His son Teddy returns home to discover that the small town has become victim to a rash of brutal murders. The investigation points to the nomadic motorcycle gang, the Lunar Cycles, that has set up camp just outside of town. The arrival of werewolf hunter Noah Packard confirms that the bikers are more than they claim to be. Get ready for one wild and hairy ride when the moon and the gas tanks are full and the townies and werewolves go to war to kick some serious werewolf butt in this wild and woolly smash-up of the Wolfman and the Sons of Anarchy. Now, my thoughts are that this title could go either way. It could be a big flop, or it could be kind of a fun horror title. This is, again, issue 1 of 6, so another limited series. And I thought with this coming out around Halloween and me enjoying the horror genre in general, I'd give this a shot. Also, I'm always looking for new craft publishers to check out. I've never heard of 451 Media Group before or sampled anything from them, so I wanted to give this a shot and see what their products are like. So the cover price on this is $3.99, and you can get this through DCB service at a price of $2.19.
Guys, this is TJ back with my next pick this month. This is in the No Brow Press section on page 391. This is Pablo and Jane and the Hot Air Contraption hardcover, writing art by Jose Domingo. And actually first heard about this book from Zainab Akhtar, who writes the blog Comics and Cola, who I'm a huge fan of. She does a very good job of reading alternative comics all over Europe and from different places. And she really has the pulse of the underground and the indie comics movement And she does a great job of reviewing stuff. And she brought this to my attention, and it looks really interesting. And so here's the description. A groundbreaking new picture book by Joe Sunday that combines graphic storytelling with hide-and-seek challenges and an extraordinary adventure. A strange green glow is coming from the old house up on the hill, and when Pablo and Jane decide to inquire, they make an unexpected discovery. Zapped into the monster dimension by the evil cat Dr. Flinibus, they must now find a way home in the broken hot air time machine with a little help from their friend Dr. Jules, a 19th century scientist trapped inside the body of a rat. Help Pablo, Jane, and Dr. Jules as they race from their lives through lopsided London, terrifying Transylvania, and horrid Hawaii to find their missing parts of their time machine and avoid the terrors of the monster dimension. On the Comics and Cola website, they had a little bit of an art preview along with the review, and it was just great, great art. And I've been a fan of Flying Eye Books. It's kind of the children's press section of No Brow, and they just put out great stuff. So if you're looking for something that's kid-friendly but still with amazing art that adults can appreciate, check out Pablo and Jane in the Hot Air Contraption hardcover on page 391 in the No Brow section.
This is Ben Truex from the Craft Comics Cast. Being that this month we are previewing books that are mostly coming out in October, I have a few horror-inspired picks for you. The first is from Oni Press, and this is Blood Feud number 1 of 5. The writer is Colin Bunn, and the artist is Drew Moss. The solicit reads as follows. I've got a story to tell. A story about how me and a couple of poker buddies squared off against the very legions of hell, and maybe even saved the world. Like all good yams, this one has its share of action, adventure, mystery, and romance. As far as how it ends, though, you'll have to judge for yourself. Me, I've always been partial to happy endings. The singing cowboy riding off in the sunset. But I reckon that just ain't the way of the world. This story's got vampires, too, loads of them. But not in the beginning. It began for us, at least, with spiders. Yeah, to me, this sounds like a really fun story. It's only a 5-parter, not a big investment. It's from Oni Press, not a publisher that I normally have found success with, but I do like Colin Bunn quite a bit. I've been reading Harrow County, and if you've heard our reviews on that, we're all very favorable of it. The artist here, Drew Moss, looks very competent. I'm all in on this. I think it's going to be the right time of year to start diving into some horror, if you're into that kind of thing. The cover price on this is $3.99, and right now you can get this from DCB Service for 50% off, so only $1.99.
Hi. Martin with Cosmic Times again. This time I want to point out Doctor Who, the 8th Doctor, issue 1 on page 424 of the catalog. I am really excited about this book, as Doctor Who is what got me into collecting comics in the first place, and Titan is doing an incredible job with the Doctor Who line, so I have no doubt that they're going to do the 8th Doctor properly. Again, that's on page 424 of the previews catalog from Titan.
And my last pick of the month is on page 424 from Titan Comics. It's Doctor Who, the 8th Doctor, number 1. I've been a big fan of the Doctor Who stuff they're doing, the fact that they've been able to do concurrent series between the 10th, 11th, and 12th Doctors, a miniseries with the 9th Doctor. Now they're kicking this off. It really just shows that there is an appetite out there for Doctor Who. And I'm not the least bit surprised by that. I think there's actually more Doctor Who fans than are actually reading these comics, because it's kind of one of the reigning sci-fi shows on TV today. But the fact that they're able to do concurrent titles across different Doctors, again, I find that pretty impressive. This is a 5-issue limited series, just like they did with the 9th Doctor. I think that makes sense to do, particularly with this Doctor. I'll be honest, it wasn't the Doctor I thought they'd do the miniseries on next. I thought they'd do the 8.5, the War Doctor. But he is showing up in the 4 Doctors miniseries they're doing. But the 8th Doctor is the one that was played by Paul McGann in the Fox movie in the mid-90s. And he's the only one to really not appear in either of the TV series Doctor Who over on the BBC. this was kind of the one that bridged the gap. So he had an adventure for about a 90 or so minute a TV movie, and this was really my introduction to Doctor Who. I say I got on board really with the ninth Doctor, which is true, but I had seen this one in the meanwhile. Just it's like, okay, what is this? But it wasn't enough to kind of get me hooked, and even if it had, nothing else happened until the ninth Doctor. So giving this neglected Doctor a miniseries, I think, makes a lot of sense. I'm looking forward to, after this, them going to the 7th, the 6th, the 5th, all the way back, and then eventually doing something that kind of crosses over with all of the Doctors. The story, at least, whether they meet or not, don't know, don't care. Again, I'm loving what Titan is doing with the Doctor Who franchise. They're treating it with respect. They seem to have the right sensibility for the characters in each of the different ones. I think it's worth checking this stuff out, and it's getting to where you can start with whatever your favorite Doctor is, because by this point they've covered, you know, a third of them. So, again, Doctor Who, the Eighth Doctor, number 1 of 5 from Titan Comics. Its cover price is $3.99. We've got a 45% discount through DCBS because it's comic book page pick of the month. That drops that price to $2.19. I think it's well worth checking out.
Okay, it's Chris Brawlinator Brawley, and my last pick is from creators Al Scott, Adam Gorham, and Adam Gorham. This is a series that I skipped, actually, when it came out in singles from Valiant. It's found on page 438, and it's called Dead Drop. This is the trade paperback. It collects all four stories. It features four heroes, four stories, and one ticking clock. There is a secret black market in New York. It is hidden in plain sight in our streets, trains, and restaurants. Those who know how to navigate it exchange secrets of extraordinary nature. But when the secret in circulation is a biological weapon derived from Vine technology, the gloves are off. And the most extraordinary agents are released to stop the disaster before it occurs. Otherwise, in less than 30 minutes, there will be no world to come back to. Exo Manowar, Archer, Neville Alcott, Detective Cahuto, and Betamax are ready to save the world. Sounds like an unlikely cast of superhuman operators for an undercover conspiracy action thriller in the darkest corners of the Valiant universe. Now, I kept hearing great reviews for this, and when Drew was on the podcast talking about the first issue, I made a note right then and there to go ahead and wait for the trade, and now is that time. Don't miss out. The story's got good reviews from everybody, and Valiant has been doing some great work. I think I'm going to just start collecting the trades, though, because I'm starting to get overwhelmed by all these great books. Listen, thanks, John, and the listeners for letting me join you on another Previews Perusal. See you next month.
Hey guys, this is TJ with my last pick for this month, and it's on page 443 of the Viz Media section, and this is One Punch Man, Volumes 1 and 2. So this is kind of a adventure comic, but it's got a lot of humor in it. It says, nothing about Satma passes the eyeball test when it comes to superheroes. From his lifeless expression to his bald head to his unimpressive physique, however, this average-looking guy has a not-so-average problem. He just can't seem to find an opponent strong enough to take on. Every time a promising villain appears, he beats the snot of them with one punch. Can he finally find an opponent who can be toe-to-toe with him and give his life some meaning, or is he doomed to a life of superpower boredom? Says, both a parody and a homage to superhero comics featuring some of the best art and action seen in today's manga. With a strong crossover from the run as a digital comic. They're actually making it into an animated TV series coming this fall. And it's also been nominated for the 2015 Eisner for Best U.S. Edition of International Material. I've read a number of reviews of this online that actually say that this is the best superhero comic being published. And that's not from just one review site. So this is supposed to be a really entertaining, lots of humor. Also, you know, kind of playing out the tropes that you have in the superhero comics, but it's supposed to be amazing. And I've seen some of the preview art, and it is gorgeous. So it is a nice manga, and they're publishing the first two volumes. You know, it's been digital. I think it's up to volume five or six on the digital side. But if you're into One Punch Man and you want a print copy, they're coming out, and they're also pretty affordable. 200 pages, $9.99, and that's for each of them. So if you want to try out One Punch Man and see some great superhero comics, check out page 443 of the Viz Media section. And that is story and art by Yusuke Murata.
So my order is totaling up to about $506. Actually, it's about a penny less than that. But I haven't gone through and factored in all of the bundles and stuff that DCBS does. And if you shop with DCBS, they're well worth checking out all these bundles. They take a bunch of things and toss them, you know, at a slightly additional discount. They've got ones right now going on for the returning DC series, the new DC series, the Marvel relaunch stuff, the Marvel Secret Wars stuff, the Valiant titles. It's actually staggering how many things they're discounting right now over at DCBS. For just the bundles that apply to my order, it's somewhere around 96 items. Which is, of course, why I haven't factored those all in yet. It takes a little bit of time to go update the right things on the Excel file. And, frankly, I haven't been doing a good job of that on the last couple of order forms. I've wound up getting, you know, two copies of, you know, things like Age of Apocalypse or Spider-Verse or Spider-Island. You know, a couple of things. Just because I got a little sloppy when I was putting together my order. But it's really some interesting stuff coming out these days. As if I don't already have enough to be reading. My order, as it currently stands, and again, I haven't finalized it by any stretch of the imagination, about 11 things from Dark Horse, about 68 from DC, 9 things from IDW, 16 from Image, 61 from Marvel, and about 30 from the back half. And again, this is subject to fluctuation and whatnot as I, you know, dive a little deeper into previews and whatnot. One of the biggest costs to doing the preview spotlight, in addition just to the time sink, is, of course, I tend to add a few things to my order form as I go through editing the episode. In this case, the one that really seems interesting, and I just had missed it somehow, was Codename Babushka that Chris had mentioned. So thank you, Chris, for mentioning that. It's rare for me to make it through the editing process of a preview spotlight without changing my order in some way, shape, or form, and 9 times out of 10, that's to add something that I had just missed. And as I was saying at the beginning of the episode, it's not that uncommon for me to realize as I'm filling out one order form that I missed that title in the previous one. So I've been known to have to email DCBS and say, hey, can you add this, that, and the other? And sometimes it's titles I find out about late, sometimes I just missed it on the order form somehow. Like I said, things get lost in the shuffle every time. There's so much going on in previews every month that it's hard to keep track, which is why I love doing these episodes and I love having all the contributions. We had over an hour of clips from other people and stuff that were sent in. I love that. Thank you, Brandon, Chris, Craft Comics Cast, Drew, Jason, Joe, Martin, Mo, and TJ. These episodes would not happen without you guys. I want to thank Jason from Hawaii, Mr. Aloha, on the forum. He's been sending in clips for the last year. I love that. It's fun hearing what he has to say. And I know he was a little reluctant to do so at first. And I get it. I've been doing 1,000 episodes, over 1,000 episodes of the podcast, and I still don't like the sound of my own voice or doing these clips or whatever. I'm an introvert. What can I say? But these episodes not only would be a ton shorter without your input, guys, but a lot less interesting and frankly a lot less valuable to me, and hopefully, you know, to you guys as well. Having as many different people send in clips from as many different viewpoints about as many different genres, publishers, comics, characters, etc., that's what make these episodes really work and a lot of fun to listen to, I think, and hopefully you guys would agree with that. So please send in clips, encourage others to do the same. It doesn't take much time and effort to do it. If you need help, email me and I'll walk you through the process. It's not that hard. And it's a lot of fun, particularly the finished product. So this order form is due, I believe, on August 19th. Check with your local store. It's due through DCBS at August 19th. If you shop at a local store, check with them when they need to have the pre-orders. Because again, the goal here is to help local shops figure out what to order when they need to order. The next previews gets released, I believe, on August 26th. That puts the deadline on September 5th. That's a Saturday, of course, and it basic ground rules apply of as long as you've got it in before I start editing bright and early that morning, that's really all it comes down to. Posting on the thread on the forum, huge help. it allows me to basically cut and paste those items into my Excel spreadsheet that I use to organize everything. That's how I make sure I don't miss things. That's how I realize, oops, I goofed in my editing. We almost, one of Joe Crawford's clips, the one on Blade, somehow I messed up, almost played the Astonishing Ant-Man twice. But because I knew, you know, in my spreadsheet what I was expecting when, I was able to fix that. So you guys helping me out by posting on the forum, following the naming convention for the files, that's a huge help. And of course, just sending in the clips in and of itself. This episode would be, like I said, a ton shorter without your guys' input. So, hope everybody found stuff they're interested in. Hope people are looking forward to what's coming out in the next previews, and of course what's coming out in the upcoming weeks between now and the time these things ship. So, until then, figure out what you're interested in the online solicits that should be up any day now for the next round. I'll post on the thread those online solicits as soon as I see them and stuff. If you see them first, please post on the forum. And again, Jason from Hawaii, thank you for really stepping up this time around and posting some of that on the forum while I was at Comic-Con and otherwise kind of busy. And with that, we'll call it an episode. The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.